me to do 4 weeks of formation hour in the spring, and I said, oh, good. I just seen some good videos on theology, and maybe I can do those. And he responded saying, how about you tell us how you compose music? And I said, let me give that some thought. Because I knew from the moment I was asked to share how I composed that I could never do that, because it is not something I can explain. Some things you just can't explain. It would be something like describing how you breathe and where that breath comes from. Though I can't tell you how I compose, I can tell you that when I listen to what I have written, I hear it as a prayer and know that it comes from the experience of being in the presence of the Holy. So these words from Stephen Charleston express what I'm trying to say pretty well. Here the music begins, here in my soul, where it rises like a spring of clear water coming from the depths of me, from my memories, my regrets, my longing. It rises up from this deep source, and as it does, it brings life to everything it touches. The music within my heart was written long ago, long before I was even imagined. A composition so ancient, it is the song that gave light to the distant stars. Here the music begins, here in what gives us breath. So let's start with a hymn I wrote. The text was written by John Thornburg, and he's a Methodist pastor and theologian. Some of the collaborative work that Barbara and I did years ago, these were performed by a diverse group of people who represented a variety of denominational expressions of their faith. She wrote the words, I wrote the music. We developed these programs through many years, and they intertwine narratives, poems, and music, and we collaborated with a visual artist to design a cover for the programs. These programs were performed by readers, singers, and dancers from the community in which we live, and they were accompanied by a small orchestra. The programs were fashioned in a liturgical-like format and were presented in church settings. I'm going to share some selections from those programs first, and then I will share some of my other works that my publishers list in the category of sacred choral music. These recordings are of performances that have not been edited. They're live. They were recorded live. So you'll probably hear some coughing, or you might hear some musical mistakes, but they are a representation of the music we sang together as a community. You will see the words on the screen, and they are enhanced with some photos that I added. And I hope you can see the words, because it is important to know what we're singing sometimes. So I think this piece is the very first collaboration of words and music that we did together, Barbara. I don't know, you might remember different. But it was written for a program that was called At the Still Point of the Turning World. And the piece is entitled, I Am. Program, we wrote another one called The Journey Home. This included words and songs about the experiences we have as we move through our lives. And one song spoke of carrying God's map with us on our journey.
I'm
program we wrote was called Tapestry of Sun and Shadow. And we wrote about a mixture of the dark and light places of experience. This song is called Out of the Earth. After writing and performing these programs, we developed one more program. This one was called Listen, and we pulled from all our work together to produce it when we were selected to be collaborating artists in an initiative of UNCG called the Bricolage Arts Festival. Here are some words from Barbara's first narrative in the program. Though the technology she refers to here has been updated a little bit since this was written, her words still apply today. This is what she said. When Bonnie and I spread the work of our years together across a table to begin this new program for the Bricolage Festival, one word kept repeating, listen. Is it any surprise that one so devoted to music and another who loves words are together so drawn to the act of listening? We share these commonalities. We grew up in an age where life was simpler in many ways, where listening meant our windows were open all night in the summer, and we could barely sleep for the racket, not of the Bluetooth wireless or the iPod, but of the crickets and katydids in their noisy chorus. We sat around dinner tables and front porches and listened to the adults, our grandparents, aunts, uncles, and cousins tell stories about growing up or living through hard times. And we paid attention to the lessons those stories taught. Today, listening means keeping an earphone in your ear or cranking up the woofers. The sound of a small child scribbling across a drawing pad has been replaced by the hum of a computer and its click-clack of keys. Today, we need the cacophony of white noise that shuts out all other sounds to be able to hear our own thoughts. Our daily appointment books are so packed that it's hard enough to schedule a music performance, let alone find time to visit our older relatives for no other reason than just to be together. We don't lie down at night to rest. We collapse, catching just enough sleep so that we can get up the next day and do it again. We've got a lot of stuff going on all the time, so much that we can barely keep up. Rarely does the machinery of our lives shut down. Then Barbara invited the audience to take this short hour or so of time and let everything stop. She invited them to stop the noise in their heads, stop the thinking and the planning and the doing. Stop and listen, with a capital L and an exclamation mark. Listen. Songs that reflected listening in that program was Listening to the Quiet. It was called There's a Calm in the Wind.
Thank you.
Another way to listen is to hear the sounds of nature. This one's called The World's Lyric. One day Barbara brought me some words that she said was just something she was messing around with. She didn't think it was anything we'd really use in a program, but it turned out to be a piece that was well loved by both the chorus and the audience as they watched five teenage girls dance to Peace Feet. Continue to wrestle with the problems of the world and can't sleep. We hope for a better world. We dream of a better future. The refrain from this piece was used in a couple of diocesan videos about deacons, and it was also sung at a national gathering of the Association of Episcopal Deacons. It's called Dream a New World.
Thank you.
I wrote as a benediction using words that are attributed to Langston Hughes. The choir surrounded the audience as they sang these words. I'm going to switch gears a little bit. I'm going to play you some of the recordings of a different type of composition. A couple of these were made by choirs that one of my publishers recorded for demo purposes. The first piece was published by Paraclete Press, and it is a prayer from the evening service of Compline that is found in our Book of Common Prayer. It's called Keep Watch. This next one is a setting of an Irish blessing that I've always loved, and it's called Deep Peace. While searching the internet for some recordings of my work, I was surprised when I found this recording on YouTube. It is sung by the Memorial Church Choir at Harvard University. and was sung as a part of a morning service there. It comes from an anthem I call Reflections of a Mystic. There are two short pieces included in this publication, and this recording is from the second piece. The text was written by Teresa of Avila in the 1500s. It's called God is Changeless. Selection some of you've already heard here at St. Luke's. It was performed in a couple of different community Lenten offerings that we had, and it was sung in honor of Robert on his last Sunday with us before beginning his sabbatical last year. It's actually the first piece I ever had published. Is going to talk to us about art, visual art. So I hope I see you back then. I've got to go get ready for service.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you very much.
Bravo.
Good.
Beautiful.
Peaceful.